Would you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6? And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe had fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. The man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. One has read this portion of the Word of God many times without understanding what it might mean. We know that the Word of God is not given idly. That every Word of God is given to us for instruction. One believes that there is something in this portion for us as those who might be called the sons of the prophets. The prophet was one who gave out the mind of God, one who was acquainted with God and knew Him. And these sons of the prophets must have heard some of the words which were spoken by their fathers. One has been raised in the truth himself and has known from an early age what it is to hear the Word of God spoken and meditated upon in the home. And perhaps it's so with most of those here this afternoon. But you know, it's one thing to hear the Word of God spoken, one thing to hear it in the home, and it's another thing to have it in the heart and to have its place there with us individually and to have to do with God, not only with God as a Savior God through the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to have to do with Him as the one who sees us in all our ways, and as His people to walk in a path that is pleasing to Him. Well, here are the sons of the prophets, and they say to Elisha, the man of God, Behold, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Well, how is it with us? Have we learned what it is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Are we like the sons of the prophets who have grown? Yes. The place where they were was too strait for them. So they wanted another place. Notice where they were dwelling. They were dwelling with the prophet. Yes. Some of the teaching of the man of God had had its effect with them. It had entered into the heart, and there was growth with these young men. You know, there's a verse in Joshua 17. You might just turn to it for a minute. In Joshua 17, in verse 14, we find those there who didn't have enough room. The children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, "Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I'm a great people? For as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto." Joshua answered them, "If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee." And the children of Joseph said, "The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley are chariots of iron, both they which are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel." Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, "Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood. And thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. Thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." The children of Israel were told that they were given the whole land, but they would only possess that which their feet trod upon. No, young people, you and I have the whole Word of God, and God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. But it's only that which we have taken and appropriated to ourselves that we can enjoy. These young men, they wanted to grow. And so they say, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. Let us go." Oh, this fellowship there, they didn't want to go alone. Oh, they wanted to go together. And that's another characteristic of the Christian. God is so constituted that new life that is given to you and me, that we need fellowship one of another if we're going to prosper in God's things. "Let us go, we pray thee." Yes, they wanted to go in fellowship together. You know, there's so many times those who live on the farm, if they see a chicken going off by itself, they know there's something wrong. That chicken is sick. Well, isn't it so with a Christian? When we find one that wants to go off by himself, not enjoying the company of others, of the Lord's people, that we can say there must be something wrong spiritually with that person. Yes. Let us go. Oh, how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Oh, may we be found ever seeking the company of God's people. And where were they desiring to go? They wanted to go to Jordan. You know, the River Jordan was that which the Israelites crossed when they entered into the land of Canaan. And the River Jordan is a grand type of the death of Christ. My having died with Christ The old nature going down into Jordan, and the new nature coming up. Yes. My association with the death of Christ. That's where these young men wanted to go. To the place where the death of Christ was a practical reality with them. Oh, do we know what it is to enter into the fact that I'm dead with Christ? Yes. And now we live by the grace of God in that newness of life, that resurrection life, the life God has given to us. They wanted to go to Jordan, be associated there with the one who died and rose again. They wanted to take each man a beam. Yes, there were no sugars in that company. Let us take thence every man a beam, make a place there. We might refer to another verse in Mark, I believe, we won't turn to it, where every man was given his work. Yes. To every man, his work was given. So it is with these young men. Every man had his work. And dear young Christian, the Lord has something for you to do. The Lord has something for me to do. As long as we're left here in this world, perhaps it's to speak to our neighbor. Oh, perhaps it's to bear up the people of God in prayer, as we've been speaking about this morning. Yes, we can pray for one another. So these young men, taking every man a beam, make a place to dwell. And how good it was that they didn't go in independence of the man of God, Elisha, but they asked his approval as to where they should go. Yes, they asked his approval. Oh, do we ask God's approval for what we do? Do we make up our minds to what we are going to do and go and do it in independence of God? Or do we seek His mind in it? You know that they didn't go until after Elisha said to them, "Go ye." Yes, go ye. Nor is that all. One said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." Oh, how blessed that is. Not only do they ask his approval, but they desired the company, the fellowship of the man of God with them. Oh, do we take God into account wherever our footsteps take us? Do we take God into account wherever we go, whatever we do? Or do we go our own way? I pray thee, go with thy servants. He says, I will go. Yeah. He would go with them. How blessed it is when we can go on in our pathway in this world with a consciousness that God is with us. Yes. You know, there are times when the Lord goes with us, not because He is pleased with what we do, but in restoring grace. Remember the two on the way to Emmaus. They had turned their backs on Jerusalem, discouraged, cast down, and they were leaving the place where the Lord had told them to stay. Yes, they were headed for their own place in Emmaus. But Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Why? In order to draw them back again to the place where He would have them. And in His own gracious way, He brought them back again to Jerusalem, where they found Him in the midst of His own. Yeah. But how blessed it is when we can go on in the enjoyment of the presence of God in all our pathway. So with these young men. The man of God says, I will go. So he went with them. Well, that's a blessed thing, to have the commendation of the man of God. And how blessed it is when we know that we have the approval of God in all that we do. Oh, would that it were so in all our steps. But we spoke this morning of how we all fail. We have to own it. We're humbled to think that we fail when God has made provision that we never need fail. But we do. Yes, we fail. Well, the prophet goes with his young men. And they come to Jordan, cut down water. They cut down wood. You know, up to this time, everything was lovely. Everything was as it should be. But all we find here, one's felling a beam. And the axe head fell into the water. You know, this axe speaks to me of the Word of God. You know, the Word of God, Scripture tells us, is like a hammer, breaks in pieces the rocks. Here's one using the axe to cut down wood. And the axe head falls into the water. What does he have left? All he has in his hand is a handle. Yes. How many times we find that with us, that failure comes in. Failure. And we have the Word of God, but it's lost its power. All we have left is a handle. Yeah. Failure had come in. And the axe head fell into the water. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to a company of Christians who are much like this. He wrote two epistles to them. And he could tell them, ye are carnal, and walk as men. Oh, there was much gift amongst them, much wisdom. So, the apostle has to tell them, you're carnal. Oh, how solemn that is. When the Word of God has lost its power with us, oh, how easy it is to fall into the snare of losing the power that the Word of God has with us when we get our eyes on something else. And along with it, the joy is lost. The joy of the knowledge of the presence of God with us is lost. And so this young man cries out, alas, master, alas, it was borrowed. This young man had a responsibility. The axe that he had was not his own. It belonged to someone else. And dear young Christian, that which you and I possess in the Word of God is a responsibility that you and I have. It's not our own. It's the Word of God. You and I have a responsibility as to how we use it, how we use that which we possess in it. Yes. Alas, master, it was borrowed. Oh, he had to answer to the one to whom it belonged as to what had happened to that axe. And dear Christians, you and I will have to answer to God as to how we use or how we neglect His precious Word which He has given to us. You and I who live in a day when the Scriptures have been opened up to us in a way that they have never been before. No, we live in a day, the most precious time in which the child of God could live, when the Scriptures have been opened up, and we have a heritage in the ministry that God has given to us. Oh, how do we use it? Do we use it for His glory? Or are we like this young man that we fail in our responsibility to God? Oh, he has to come to the man of God and confess. To confess that he has failed. And what's the answer? Oh, the answer is, where, Philip? Where, Philip? And if you and I, if you're a young Christian, are going to be restored when we fail in our pathway, where do we have to go? Go on our knees to God, confessing that we have failed. And then, where, Philip? What was the cause? Where did we fail? Oh, we've got to go back to the beginning. Yes. The beginning where the fall started. That's the place for you and for me to go. Back there. Yes. No, sometimes it takes searching of the soul in God's presence to go back to the place where we failed at the beginning of our failure. But oh, how blessed it is when we do it, when we can get into the presence of God and find that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, that's the place to go. and confession on our knees to Him when we have failed. So we showed Him the place. Yes. The presence of God. To find that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, that's the place to go. In confession on our knees to Him when we have failed. So we showed Him the place. Yes. There's the bearing of the soul before God. Here is where I failed. Oh, have you ever done that? It's humbling to have to own before God that we have failed and how we have failed. Sometimes these things have a little beginning. But oh, how they grow. But if we're going to have our communion restored with God and our joy, it must be by going back to the beginning of our failure and to find Him sufficient for all things. So we showed Him a place and He cut down a stick. Cast it into the oh, when we bring ourselves face to face before God with the cross of Christ, we find there that the Lord Jesus, He died for me, and it's the cross of Christ. Yeah. By which the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. Have we learned the reality of that? Yes. There's the cross of Christ, which puts a separation between me and the world. The world is on one side of the cross, and the child of God is on the resurrection side of the cross. Oh, where are you living? Where am I living? But when we bring in the cross of Christ into our failures, dear young Christian, what a difference it makes. Yeah. So the cross of Christ, when I bring my failures face to face with that. Oh, what blessed results there are. He cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Oh, as that was beyond all of nature for the iron to swim. And the cross of Christ is that which can work in your soul and mind, dear young Christian, that which the world never, never could conceive. So He said, take it up to thee. And He put out His hand and took it. So how blessed it is when we can, in fellowship with the people of God, find ourselves in the enjoyment of the company of God's people and in company, so to speak, with God Himself, and to find the restoring grace that God has for all our failures while we're down here. Oh, God knows our weakness. He knows how prone we are to failure. And God has made provision for us. Yes. So may we in all our pathway down here in this world, seek by God's grace to go on with the cross of Christ ever before us, that which has separated me from this world. May we sing number 76. Rise, my soul, thy God directs thee, stranger hands no more impede. Pass thou on, his hand protects thee, strength that has a captive free. Is a wilderness before thee, desert land where drought abides. Heavenly spring shall there restore thee, fresh from God's exhaustless tides. Art thou weaned from Egypt's pleasures? God in secret thee shall keep. There unfold his hidden treasures, there his love's exhaustless deep. When to Canaan's long-loved dwelling, love divine thy foot shall bring, there with shouts of triumph swelling, Zion's songs in rest to sing, there no stranger God shall meet thee, stranger thou in courts above. He who to his rest shall greet thee with well-known love.